Good morning. Welcome to Main Street. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing our hymn of preparation, which you will find on the inside of your bulletin. Beginning to enter probably one of the busiest seasons of the church year, and for that reason I'm going to try to make some of these announcements very quickly, but they're very important. First of all, and I'd like for you to put a star by the Palm Sunday announcement that is on the back of your bulletin, because we're going to be doing things very differently this Palm Sunday and for all of Easter week, so you really do need to pay attention to what's happening, because there's some of absolutely wonderful worship opportunities for us during this Holy Week that's coming up. First of all, for Palm Sunday next Sunday, the children are not going to be the only ones who get the delightful pleasure of waving palms. We're asking all of those who are able and who wish to process to please meet around the magnolia tree outside, that gorgeous tree of ours. Meet around the magnolia tree, between the magnolia tree and the sidewalk, because we'll all have palms and we'll all process. Now, if you don't feel like processing or you don't think you can process, please come on in and take your regular pew and wait to join us. There will be no announcements next week, and we won't be chiming the Trinity. We're going to ring the big bell, and I do think the church can stand it. We're going to ring the big bell to chime the Trinity. So please come and participate in all of the church activities this next week. Also notice that our Lenten luncheon will be across the street at First Presbyterian. There will be two lunches and one service. The service is in the middle, and it starts at 12:35. Please also notice several other things. Tonight, we have the opportunity to hear our own Ryan Moore speak. Yes, I know, it's the youth's coffee house, Elevate, but it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think you would really benefit from having the opportunity to hear Ryan. So if you can, come. I know Ryan would love to see you, and our young people would enjoy your support. UMW Executive Committee meeting is tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the Susanna Wesley House. Notice that children of aging parents have a support group that meets on Tuesday at 7 p.m. So you might want to join that group if you fit that category. And also I want to remind you of the gathering meeting. Reverend Barton will be speaking about the structure of the United Methodist Church. Then I also want to ask you to please star. There's an Easter egg hunt for the children. Notice that at the parents' home. And remember to bring fresh flowers or greenery from your yard to put on our living cross for Easter. So you may want to start looking around and see what's going to be in bloom about that time. Now, will you continue the process of worship, getting your minds and hearts ready to hear and worship the Lord, with the chiming of the Trinity and the entrance of the acolytes with the light of Christ.
Thank you.
Will all who are able please stand for the call to worship? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Come to see Jesus, even though his glory is a cross. Hymn number 157.
Please be seated. God has called us to restore to joy and wholeness if we acknowledge our sins and seek forgiveness. Therefore, remembering that there is forgiveness with God, whom we revere, let us ask God to take us by the hand and lead us to the throne of grace. Please join in the song of approach, followed by the unison prayer of confession and a time of silent prayer.
Thank you. Let us join together in our prayer of confession. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love, for we know our sins, and we cannot overlook them. We have failed to put our complete confidence in you. We rely on prestige and past success for reputation. We look to the wealth and power of nations for support. We cling to things, and yet knowing you surpass all else. Wash us, heal us, teach us to honor you with truth. Let us know the joy and gladness of your saving grace, that we may have life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's have a moment of silent prayer and reflection as we make our own personal confessions to God. God has promised to forgive our iniquity and remember our sin no more. Let us set our minds on the Spirit and give praise to the one who raised Jesus from the dead. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for today is from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, verses 31 through 34. Hear now a reading from God's Word. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The gospel lesson for today is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. Please stand, if you are able, for the reading of the gospel. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Would you please join me in the responsive reading entitled The Promise of the Resurrection? Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Can you sense it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act.
Jesus says, we believe.
Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live.
Yes, Lord, we
Let's have a moment of prayer. Holy Lord, as we come to you on this Lenten Sunday, again embracing our humanness and our frailties, but also embracing the glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior, we thank you, dear God, that our trust is not in the arms of flesh, but our hope is in God, who made heaven and earth, the one who overcame death, hell, and the grave, and is seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven. We acknowledge, dear God, in this journey of faith, that there are many times that we may be misunderstood or misunderstand. And yet we know that you see the heart. You know our thoughts in the inward person, our down sittings and our uprisings. You know us completely. And we pray, dear God, that we would desire truth in the inward being, that our hearts would be pure before you. And we pray, Almighty God, for those of our church family, those who are hurting this day from a loss of loved ones, those who are shut in because of illness, those who are away from home by choice or by commitment from our civil government or by a call from God's holy presence, to go into all the world and proclaim the good news. So we pray. We pray that your holy presence would be manifested in all of our lives, and that everywhere men and women and boys and girls would know the peace that comes from knowing the Prince of Peace. Be with our leaders, those leading our church and our civil government. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, come please. Holy God, we thank you again for the gift above all gifts, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save sinners like us. And we thank you for the privilege to give gifts that fail in comparison, but gifts that speak of the love that we have for you and the faithfulness to give to your kingdom. Bless these gifts, Almighty God, that they might go into the world to share the message of the greatest gift that was ever given, Jesus Christ. Bless giver and gift, and those who have not, or those who chose not to give this day. Let all that we do be found acceptable in your sight, our Father, our Maker, and our Redeemer. Amen.
Please be seated. We invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning. I have a stone in my hand, similar to one that I've shared with you before. It's small and it's smooth, and it would easily fit into my pocket. Some people call this a worry stone. When they feel troubled or worried about something, they pull the stone out of their pocket and they rub the smooth surface with their thumb. And they say that that helps them to feel peaceful or more at peace. But you know, I'm not so sure that this stone works for me. When I'm worried or troubled about something, that doesn't really help. You know, if we really want to know what we need to do when we are facing trouble, we need to look to Jesus to see what he did. Several days before Jesus was to be crucified, he felt very troubled. And he thought, well, what am I to do? Do I need to ask God to save me from this horrible ordeal? And then he thought, no, for that is the very purpose that I was sent, was to go through the crucifixion. So instead, he said, Father, your name be glorified. Now, wouldn't it be pleasing to God if we all faced our troubles like that? If we looked to God for guidance and we tried to face our troubles in a way that would glorify God instead of asking God to take our troubles away. So that, I think, would be a wonderful thing for us all to try to do, to glorify God's name as we're going through different problems in our daily lives. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Father, we all face trouble in our life. Instead of asking you to take our troubles away, let us ask that you help us to face those troubles in such a way that your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
may be seated. This reading that we've had today in the Gospel according to John speaks of just a brief encounter that Jesus has with these Gentile followers or persons of interest. As a matter of fact, it doesn't even speak about Christ having a word-to-word conversation. But it does speak about those outside of the Jewish family that have come looking for Jesus. I think about the ways that we approach those in leadership. Most of the time we have those on the periphery, so to speak, that you go to and you say, well, I would like to speak to the president or the manager or whoever. And usually there's some interworkings that get you in the presence of the individual that you're seeking. And I guess this is what is happening in this passage. These non-Jewish people perceive maybe that there is a system in place, and so they go to these individuals. For whatever the reason, it speaks about a dramatic transformation. Jesus says, the time has come. It is time for my death. Certainly, if we reflect, as John is doing in his writings, post the resurrection, we understand that this message of the gospel will reach into the Gentile community. It will be spread in other places of the world. It will grow like fire after the persecution is inflicted upon the church. Several years ago, more years now than I really like to think, I was on the campus of Rochester Institute of Technology. I was there in the student union, just talking to a few different folks about their life and about what they perceived life was going to be like once they graduated from college. When I found myself in a small little room off to the side and met a gentleman there and found out that he was a student DJ. And there on this campus, they had a small student-run radio station that played all the popular music of that day for those young people. He played for me a song, and I can remember it going like this: sign, sign, everywhere a sign. Don't do this, don't do that. Can't you read a sign? Those of you about my age probably remember that song. But just thinking about all the signs that we come in contact with. Lee and I were walking through the hospital the other day, and I sure was glad that she knew where we were going, because just for a moment I could have been so lost except for those blessed signs that would point this way and that way, and then some would say, don't enter here. Signs that we see every day, and some of you can think about signs: speed zone, deer crossing, ice on bridge, sharp curve, slow children, Then maybe they ought to put at the bottom, you ought to see their parents. Bump ahead signs, railroad crossing signs, keep off the grass. Slow church sign. That slow church sign I remember when I was pastoring in Florence. And I came upon that sign and I thought, now, do we want people to slow down here so they won't run over the people that are going into the church, or do we want people to slow down so they can think? Think about coming to church. Think about making that turn into the driveway. Then my next question was, well, I wonder if the people that are attending church really want these people to slow down. Do they really wish that these people would come and worship at their church? People have asked me numerous times since I've been here, Terry, where do you pastor? Main Street United Methodist Church. Where is that? Well, the name ought to give you a hint. It's on Main Street. You ever been down to Main Street of Greenwood? It's the largest Main Street in the world, I think. At least I know in North America. I mean, that's what we talk about around here, right? Our wide Main Street, because of the trains that used to be here. And then I think, does our church need a sign? What type of sign do we need to have out front? Do we need one of those big flashing neon signs that says, here we are, right here on this corner. We've only been here about 100 years. Do we need a sign saying, y'all welcome here? I'll never forget, one day, my dad and I left the house to go to take my mom her lunch. And Dad forgot to turn off the deep fryer. And when we came back, all our neighbors were at our house for a visit. And my dad's sermon the next week was, if you want people to come to your house, set it on fire. And so I think about our church and during this season of Lent and the sign that we would have, and I ask myself the question, are we on fire? I never forget what my dad said in that sermon. He said, if you're on fire, some people will come if it's just to watch you burn. When you're on fire, you attract attention. And obviously the smoke rolling out of our house from the pot catching on fire caused the neighbors to come. Thank God they put out the fire. But if we're on fire as a church, then what are we on fire with? Are we on fire with a holy fire of God's Spirit and presence and love when we're in our Sunday school classes and when we're in our men and women's clubs and our MYF and all the places that we participate as a group of people? Or do we get together in our little circles and are we ignited by some, God forbid, unholy fire? Unholy fire of gossip and backbiting and those things that would not be pleasing to God? Jeremiah speaks at a time when the children of Israel were in bondage. They were helpless and afraid, and Jeremiah reminded them that God was still with them and that their promise of a bright future still lived. And God was wanting to establish a covenant, a new covenant, that wasn't just on some pillars of stone, but written within their hearts. Jeremiah experienced those human emotions just as we do. He knew rejection, but he also knew to listen to God's word that became, as he said, a raging fire shut up in my bones. God's covenant comes to put within us a new fire, to kindle maybe a fresh fire. You know, that's our symbol as United Methodists. It's not just the cross. It's the cross and the flame. A flame, a presence, a sign of the presence of God's Spirit, God's fire that burns and consumes and also purifies and makes more holy. These Greeks that came to see Jesus, they came with some new eyes. They came seeking to see Jesus. It didn't say in this passage what they expected. And if you go back and read this passage of Scripture and you experience afresh the crucifixion of Christ and those that came by saying, "Hail, King of the Jews, bring yourself down from the cross. You who said that you would rebuild this temple in 3 days if it was destroyed, you," and they mocked him and they spat on him. These Greeks, they didn't come with all of that. They came to see and to experience this Jesus. In John 3:3, it says that no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. We need to be able to see. We don't need to be blinded by our own prejudices. We need to have hope. We don't need to be hopeless. We need for this renewed power to come forth in our lives. We need to have Christ reborn within us. Leonard Sweet tells this story about Tom Lynn, a salesman from Montana. He was making his rounds on his regular route, and he was driving his much older pickup truck with a piggyback camper on the back, looking to continue his route. He made a spur-of-the-moment decision and opted to take a scenic route. Only a few miles on this blue highway, as they say, The elevation rose rapidly, and good old Oregon drizzle turned into swirling snowflakes. Tom was in his big pickup truck, so he kept going. And the snow kept coming. And soon Tom was in the middle of a whiteout blizzard. He was forced to pull over. And he stopped for the rest of the day. And by nightfall, his pickup was a slightly discernible lump of white in a vast landscape of snow. Tom wasn't worried. He was in his big pickup. Soon the road clearing crews would be along and would help him escape the cold clutches that held him in his truck. What Tom didn't realize was that the scenic route he had chosen was closed after the first winter's snowfalls. The Forest Service didn't maintain that road. They would not be coming up that way until spring. Tom didn't know that. Convinced that someone would be along as soon as there was a break in the weather, Tom determined to do the smart thing, stay in his big truck. Avoid the risk of exposure or getting hopelessly lost, he hunkered down. Soon, it was noted that he had failed to arrive at his next sales appointment, and family and friends and state and local police forces began to search for him. No one thought to venture up that little used, completely snow-blocked back track road that Tom had chosen. When the weather cleared and the blue skies and sun shone on Tom's trapped vehicle, the salesman opted to continue being smart and safe. He stayed with his big truck. It seems impossible to understand now, but Tom stayed with that big truck for over 8 weeks. He kept a journal of his thoughts, his hopes, his fears, his considered options. But still he sat in that big truck. Eventually he grew too weak to have any real options anymore, and by Christmas he couldn't have walked if he had wanted to. At the end of January, a group of backcountry skiers inadvertently came across Tom in his safe haven big pickup truck. Tom's journal revealed that he had finally died sometime around January the 15th. His emaciated, dehydrated body was still in his truck. In trying to minimize his risks, Tom thought he was opting to stay safe. In turn, Tom was opting out of life. Life is risky business. Christ calls us His disciples. He calls us into harm's way every day of our lives. Several years ago, they were digging in a field down below Pisgah United Methodist Church. And they dug beyond the level of terra firma where we live now, and they dug down to what was called prehistoric. And I went down there, and there was some sand that they would let us dig in, and we could uncover all types of prehistoric artifacts. And one of the things that they uncovered was a pterodactyl bone. Now, a pterodactyl bone is that big old bird with the long beaks that flies around. And I do believe that after I found out about that, every time I walked out of the church, I would look across the horizon to make sure there wasn't some pterodactyl going to fly out of the sky, because obviously they were once there. The truth is that we are really not threatened by being a part of some pterodactyl food chain. Not very many of us are in the way of hungry lions in our world. But the truth is that we're breathing. And that puts us on the list one day of not breathing. Our hearts are beating. And one day our hearts will not be beating. The truth is that we are fragile and fallible. Sometimes fractured, hanging in the balances of life. There's not a whole lot that separates you and me from eternity. Tom got stuck in a snowy road, and he made a choice. Jesus tells us in this reading today that unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. We are His common everyday people. We understand how it is to get lost on a snowy road. We can resonate with that. We can resonate with putting a grain of wheat in the ground and seeing it grow. Christ calls us. He calls us to a life of surrender. He calls us to a logic of risk-taking. He doesn't always call us to appear in the eyes of the world to be successful. In the eyes of the world, Jesus wasn't successful. He calls us to join Him, especially during this Lenten series, to journey with Him to the cross. The early disciples left the security of home, of temple, and tradition, and they risked it all on Jesus. I close with this remark. God calls us to be risk takers. And God took the biggest risk by sending His Son into a world and then endowing you and me with the freedom of choice. Your choice this morning: be a risk taker and join in this journey of faith and creativity into what God is doing in this day where there are no massive pterodactyls, but there are threats just as well. Amen. Invite you to join in singing and join in the affirmation of faith. Let us stand together. joining together. We are children of God. We have been water washed and spirit filled. We are dead to sin and alive in Christ. We're done with the law and live under grace. Our hearts are set on righteousness. Our minds are fixed in life and peace. Suffering is nothing compared to the glory to come, for we are heirs to the life Christ brings. We are children of God. Hymn number 707. Receive now the blessing, and also please remember that after you receive the blessing, to turn and shake hands with your neighbors and extend to them the peace of Christ. We are called to declare that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, the God who leads us by the hand out of slavery to sin and death, the same God who writes a new covenant on our hearts and sends us in the spirit of life and peace to dwell in us. Bless the Lord.